This podcast is part of the BombPod Media Network.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young.
A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's
Well, hello, my friends. This is CK from the Mirths and Monsters podcast, proud partner of the Odd Audio Network. Join me, my companion Finn, and my occasionally satanically possessed cat Ray,
puny mortals,
as we investigate the real truths behind some of the most wonderful creatures you can imagine. Are trolls really that thick? Or is it just bad press? Are leprechauns really drunken bums? Sort of. But there's a lot more to find out. All you need to do is tune in to Mirths and Monsters podcast with me and Finn. Till next time, slancha, your good health.
Jingle bells, jingle bells. Welcome to episode 72 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry and I'm joined by my wife, Tracy.
Hey guys, Merry Christmas Eve to you guys. Ho, ho, and another ho.
Oh, three hoes for my favorite ho.
Thanks.
Hey, real quick, we just wanted to basically tell all of you guys what a wonderful year you've given us.
Oh and, my gosh, amen.
We wanted to say a big Merry Christmas to every one of you. We've been inundated the last couple of days with people writing us some of the nicest stuff you could ever want to see, a lot of personal stuff, a lot of things telling us how we've helped them deal with some hardships in their life, and nothing means more to us this time of year than hearing how we impact you guys.
Yeah, and even though you say that, you don't know how much you all help us through the year.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just amazing. But we appreciate all you guys reaching out to us, and we're there for anything we can do for you.
Real quick, because we didn't have a ton of iTunes reviews this week, but we did have one, and that was from KC1643256. Thank you for that wonderful
review,
Casey.
Thank you, honey, so much.
And then as far as Patreon, our Patreon supporters right now are... That's my way of getting when I'm not prepared. Brandy Hester, it was our new one, and we've
had
Brandy. Tammy Hicks. Thank you,
Tammy. Thank you, honey.
Leanne Ashmore.
Thank you.
Lisa, I think this is Lisa Nadine.
Oh wow, cool.
And then we've got Leslie Tyler and Allison Richard. Thank you guys.
Thank you
so much.
We appreciate you more than you'll ever know.
Absolutely. Now, we are going to have fun on this episode.
Woohoo.
Because we've got, this is Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now, last year, we went ahead and just tried to make it all jovial and lighthearted. And we told the story of Krampus and Old Saint Nick. And I thought, you know what, this year, we're going to be Hillbilly Horror Stories. And we're going to tell you some stuff that I think is interesting. So we've got a nice haunted story for you for the haunted Toys R Us. So that'll stick with our regular theme, because what's more Christmassy than toys?
Well, that's true. It's hard to believe that's been a year already. I'll tell you what, that's crazy that we did those stories.
Remember Kristen made the joke about Krampus being the demon that visits her once a month.
I remember that.
So we got this Toys R Us story. We thought that this is a pretty cool story to use at Christmas time. Then I've got a story that's about a little boy and his friend that passed on that has to do with Christmas. And we're also going to read you, now this would be something different than what we did. This is actually going to be a story, instead of, you know, what was it, the night before Christmas, like most people read, mm-hmm. we're going to read you a different kind of story. But it's not going to be one that's in our way. I'm just going to read it word for word. We'll put a little fun into it. And but I think this is going to be something that will shock a lot of you.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Not your typical Christmas story. So,
but I love Christmas.
Yeah, this will not be the episode to listen to with the kids on the way over to Grandma's house.
Oh, geez.
And then we're going to finish the show up. Our good friend Amber Hammond, formerly of Color Me Dead podcast, came on with us, and she's going to do some a little segment that we might do every so often called Amber's Killer Facts.
Oh, yeah. She had some really cool ones, too.
And she basically is going to tell us some cool facts about some serial killers. And we play a little game with it where she had 10 picked out. Me and Tracy just picked numbers, and we randomly got whatever facts she had. And it was a fun little deal, so we'll throw that on the end. As you might have heard, we replaced our regular Hillbilly Horrors theme with John Lennon's Happy Christmas, War's Over. Because that's my favorite Christmas song, and anytime I can throw John Lennon or the Beatles in, that's what I'm going to do.
Good. Sounds great.
But then we also heard Aerosmith's Toys in the Attic go in with our toy song. So are we ready to get this thing going?
Let's go, baby doll.
All right. This may not be as long a show as we normally do because we're doing it on Christmas Eve in between our runs. Not runs, like because Tracy fixed bad food last night. Runs, like to everybody's house that you always have to do at Christmas
time.
Oh, my
gosh, I know. It's going to be crazy.
So we're going to start off with the Toys R Us story. Now, a lot of you have probably heard this story, and as usual, I tried to throw a few extra facts and stuff in there maybe you haven't heard. Now, this Toys R Us is in Sunnyvale, California, and obviously it's supposedly haunted or we wouldn't be talking about it. Now, this goes all the way back to the late 70s when this first really started coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the information I have, you'll hear me talk about the managers and stuff like that. This is all comes from 2007. I couldn't really find a lot of recent stuff mm-hmm. on it. And with everything that's going on with Toys R Us, I don't even know if the store's still open
right now.
Oh,
I know.
Right
that's so sad, too.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't like that damn giraffe. What's his name?
What?
Jeffrey?
Jeffrey. Why do you not like a Jeffrey giraffe?
You used to go
giraffe?
And you get those little Jeffrey bucks. You remember and? That? Well, it's just stupid.
It is not.
Giraffes can't spend money. Why you got Jeffrey bucks?
Because he's being nice and giving
and how
to
they choose
them
a,
to
how
you.
They choose a giraffe as a mascot of a toy store? Who have you ever known that had a toy giraffe?
Me.
You did not have a toy
I did
giraffe.
Have one long years and many years ago.
Where'd you get
actually.
It from? Toys R Us?
You know, I don't think so, actually.
Okay.
So get off my nuts about
it. So let's move ahead. This goes, like I said, this goes back to the 70s. Now, several TV shows back in the day used to actually have this on. They didn't have all the haunted shows like they got today. Mm-hmm. But there was a show called That's Incredible. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
Back in the late 70s. That had Fran Tarkenton on it. And what's her name? Crosby? I can't remember. And then I can't remember who the other guy was.
Oh, my gosh. But, see, I remember Frank, but I don't remember Fran. It was Fran,
yeah,
it was right?
Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah, I don't remember who else was on there.
But that was a cool show back in the day, and it involved everything. I mean, it was, you know, anything that was crazy feats or mm-hmm. of strength or whatever. But it was actually on that show. Now, most of you know psychic Sylvia Brown.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty famous and has been for a long time, but she actually was the first psychic or anybody of a name that did this. Now, keep in mind, this was 78.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was, you know, 30 years ago.
People probably thought she was, like, on psychedelic
or actually,
drugs
that was 40 years ago. So, I mean, she was really just getting started. She's mm-hmm. been a big name for a long time. But so she was out there, and she did a seance. And she's been back more than a dozen times.
Wow, good for her.
Since then to this place. There was a Hollywood script writer that did a movie called Toys, and he actually spent two nights there just kind of doing some research.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember that movie by any chance. It was just called
Toys.
Just
I don't
called
think
Toys.
I do either.
I remember the one with Richard Pryor in it, but that was The Toy.
Okay, so you mean he spent the night at Toys R Us?
Yeah, he spent two nights there just kind of doing some research for his, I guess the movie was probably semi-based on mm-hmm. what happened there. So it's supposedly haunted by a man named Johan Johnson. And this is according to Sylvia Brown, what she got out of her seance that she did. So she's most of this information comes from her. But they have been able to document some of these things, like the fact that there was a Johan Brown that lived there and all that. So mm-hmm. we'll get into that a little more. So Johnson was actually a preacher and a ranch hand in the 1980s on the Murphy family farm. And the Murphy Family Farm is what used to be the Murphy Family Farm is actually where the Toys R Us is right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Johan actually spoke with a slight Swedish accent.
Mm-hmm.
So our Swedish people will like that.
Oh, yeah. It's a great accent to have.
Yes,
lucky.
It is. Swedish is a really cool accent.
Yeah.
And so we got 10 of 16 people that were at the seance said that they heard kind of a high-pitched buzz noise while Brown was actually supposedly talking to Johan.
Mm-hmm.
So this, when he would talk back through her, this buzz would go on. So that was kind of cool. So Murphy was actually in love with the farmer's daughter, Elizabeth. And he didn't really like the fact that she didn't pay him no never mind, as we say here in the South.
Oh, really?
She had no interest. She was actually getting married to an attorney, an East Coast attorney, mm-hmm. in like 7 days when he told her how he really felt about her. And the guy was a little bit slow anyway. He had something they called, I think it's called encephalitis.
Okay.
But they called him Crazy Johnny because of it.
Aww.
He was slow.
Okay.
And so he told her his feelings, and obviously she wasn't interested, and she was very blunt about it.
Oh, dang.
And
you gotta be nice about it.
I'm sure this severely hurt his feelings.
I'm sure it did.
And so he said, you know, hey, I want to marry you. And she's like, no, you're Crazy Johnny, and I'm marrying a, you know, rich East Coast attorney.
Well,
so,
that's stupid.
According to different newspaper articles, Johan accidentally hacked his leg with an axe while he was angrily chopping wood out of disgust.
Ow.
So he's pissed off. He's out there. He's got, you know, all these logs and stuff, and he's just in, you know, he's in a little fit of rage, and he's, mm-hmm. you know, just swinging the axe as hard as he can, and he missed and chopped his leg. And according to which article you read, because there's a couple of different ones, one of them said that he did that. One of them said that he hit himself in the neck.
Oh, gosh.
But either way, both articles said that he bled to death.
Oh, and those, my gosh.
So those are actually documented in the newspaper that there was a Johan there, and he did bleed to death for this. So there's, I love this name, the young lady that had worked at the store. She, at this point, like I said, this was 2007. She had worked there for 18 years. Her name was Putt-Putt O'Brien.
Oh, nice.
But she'd been stocking shelves, like I said, for 18 years. And she said when she started, she didn't believe in ghosts. But she said when you start feeling a breeze behind you and someone calls your name and there's nobody else there and funny things like start to happen, you can't really explain it.
Yeah, you can't brush it off for sure.
She said rag dolls and toy trucks would just fall off the shelves. Balls would bounce down the aisles where, mm-hmm. you know, there was nobody at. And then she said baby swings, you know, like the...
Yeah.
She said those things would just start swinging on their own. And people at the Toys R Us have tried to explain it as far as, like, upper management and, I guess, regionals and stuff like that. They've tried to explain it logically, but they can't.
Mm.
Supposedly, a lot of this stuff is caught on surveillance camera.
Oh, well, I mean, at least they have the proof.
Mm-hmm. So O'Brien said that several people have had the experiences and said that he was kind of like Casper because he never tried to scare anybody.
Yeah.
He was just more of a prankster. Nobody's ever really been frightened. O'Brien said that she actually saw Johan once, and she said he was a man in his 20s and 30s. He was wearing knickers, a white long-sleeve work shirt, and a gray tweed snap brim cap.
I can so see that in my brain.
I can too, because I saw a picture of somebody.
Oh, you did?
Looked like him.
Oh.
Well, it wasn't his actual picture, but you know how they always do, like,
yeah.
a characterization or something. Now, another time she said she heard the sound of a galloping horse. Because supposedly he used to exercise the horses on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make sense, too. And these days, he just likes to play with the staff.
Yeah, well, he's fun. That's a good thing.
Right. Now, a few examples of the things that he likes to do, or prank-wise, I guess, is there's a strong smell of flowers in aisle 15C, right next to the Mickey Mouse dolls. And on one occasion, there were some men that were actually waxing the floors. And a teddy bear appeared in each one of the aisles as they moved the equipment through. So they would get through in one aisle, go to the other, and there's a teddy bear.
Uh-huh.
Then they would move it and get to another aisle, there's a teddy bear. And so that's kind of, you know, prankster type.
Yeah.
Now, but the question is all this just a gimmick? Now, the store manager at the time, Stephanie Lewis, she said that it's very good publicity. She'll admit that. But personally, she didn't believe in any of it. Even though everybody's got all these things, she's the store manager. She said she didn't believe
it. Even after she looked at it on camera?
Well, I don't know if she, how much she saw on camera, but, you know, she said she didn't believe it. So now she said that she might not believe in it, but she knows plenty of others do. She's admitted that she had to chase away several teenagers just the week before that were coming up there.
Oh, gotcha.
They were actually sitting in front of the store at 4 a.m. with a Ouija board trying to conjure up ghosts.
The teenagers were?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, they're crazy.
She said at least once a week somebody comes there and they ask about it. And she said it's usually teenagers, but trying to get her to let them spend the night inside the toy store,
mm-hmm.
which obviously she can't do. So,
of course.
Now, she said that she has female employees that will not go to the women's bathroom alone. Why? Because Johan follows them in there, and then he turns on the faucets, and sometimes he actually opens the door for them before they go in there. So I guess
he's a gentleman.
Yeah, apparently. She said that some longtime employees said that Johan likes to prank contractors that are just there like for a short time doing mm-hmm. something. You know, the toys would actually like jump on the shelf and then the contractors would refuse to come back.
Oh my gosh.
Now, O'Brien, we talked about Putt O'Brien earlier. She said she thinks Johan lives upstairs in a, there's like a corner up there that's really breezy and cool
mm-hmm.
all the time. And she thinks that's kind of where
he hangs out, huh?
Yeah. And she said that when she goes up there to work, that she kind of yells out and says, hey, I'm just coming up here to work. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. And that way, she said, he kind of leaves her alone.
Oh.
Now, some of the pranks he pulls are harmless, but it's still spooky because you're usually alone. And most people, if anything weird happens when you're alone, it's going to freak you out. So the question is, if it's haunted, then why work there? Well, Lisa actually said, and Lisa didn't want to give her last name, so she's just Lisa. But Lisa said that it's a good ghost and it's fun there. And she said one incident she had that she heard like a mysterious voice whisper through the PA system,
mm-hmm.
through the whole store. And it said, Lord giveth, Lord taketh away.
Mm.
And there was nobody, she said, at the actual intercom to be able to do that, but it was still going over. So let's go back to the seance. Photographer Bill Tidwell actually took a bunch of pictures. And in one of the infrared pictures, you could see a silhouette of a man leaning up against the shelf surrounded by a bright light.
Oh.
And I'll snag that picture and throw it on the Facebook page.
That.
But it actually does look like a man leaning up
on the shelf. Oh, man, how cool is that? That is so cool.
So...
I want to hang with him. He sounds cool. He sounds like he's harmless.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be cool to hang out in a Toys R Us.
Yeah.
So I think we should all go out there before they file for bankruptcy and close it down.
Oh.
If they haven't already closed it down.
Well, I know the one here is still open.
Well, it's in California, so Tina Oler has probably been there. Since anything we bring up in California, she's been there.
Yeah, Tina, you need to let us know if it's still open.
I don't know where Sunnyvale is.
I don't either.
I didn't look to see where it was in California.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a fun place to live, though. Sunnyvale, hey.
So what do you think? We're going to get into, like I said, we're going to breeze right through. I got a couple of things that I forgot to mention. Some cool Christmas facts that I found interesting.
Okay.
The Satan and Santa connection. Have you ever heard about that?
No. I know they got the same letters.
Right. And that's where it comes in. So is Santa really an anagram for Satan? Many people think so, citing that the fact that Santa is often referred to as jolly old Saint Nick, just as the devil once was known as Old Nick. Remember the movie with Adam Sandler, Little Nicky?
Yeah. Ugh.
Well,
worst movie ever.
It was not the worst movie ever. But the point of that is, he was Little Nicky because... Satan's name was Nick.
You cannot convince me of this. You can't.
Okay. So never mind that St. Nicholas was a real historical character, because, you know, that's really where it kind of came from. But others claim that Santa hails from the opposite end of the spectrum, as exemplified by his similarities in Zeus or Odin, identified in Norse mythology as god of the sky. Like Santa Claus, Odin ruled from the far north and had an all-seeing eye. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know the story. And he gave gifts to Yuletide to those who honored him. Those honorees, by the way, did so at the site of the sacred fir tree, not unlike the ones that we lay out gifts at every year at a Christmas tree.
Oh, dang.
So later interpretation of Santa Claus puts him actually literally to godlike status, which would have him battling Satan, as he does in a bizarre Mexican fantasy film called Santa Claus.
So,
I just wonder how many people are trying to look that up. But it makes sense, as in some cultures, it's believed that Santa actually made the devil his Christmas time slave. Note also, Santa's alternative moniker, Kris Kringle, said to be taken from the German Christkindl, which means literally Christ child.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Now, there's that part of it, but let's talk about the tie-in with pagan.
Mm-hmm.
It's widely known that the tradition of Christmas is descended from the ancient pagan rituals, notably the fertility festival. This celebration involving copious food, drink, and orgies, plenty. We always like orgies at Christmas time.
Oh my gosh.
Or maybe, well, maybe you don't.
I don't.
Maybe that's just me.
That's just you.
But this fell on...
you're a ho, ho, ho.
I guess. This fell on the 24th of December, which is Christmas Eve. But that's the reason they did this, because that was the shortest day of the year. December 25th was actually venerated as the birth of the sun, because that's the day that the days start getting progressively longer.
Yeah, yeah.
So starting on Christmas Day. And I'm sure most of you are probably aware, December 25th was not the actual birthday of Jesus. Well, it's not. Sorry. That's most people believe that that actually was in somewhere in July, but nobody has pinpointed a date. But in 350 AD, Pope Julius decreed that it would be celebrated on the 25th. So that's where that goes back to. 350 AD, that's when they decided they were going to start doing it on the 25th every year. So it's kind of a shrewd decision that combined the pagan and the Christian festivals, essentially making the sun and the Son of God one and the same. Because the pagans did the sun festival. It appears that it was succeeded in inspiring people to join the Catholic Church, and that was apparently what the Pope's main goal was when he set that there. So I think it was meant to try to say, hey, let's combine these two, and that'll get people more religious and run to the Catholic Church.
So he's being slick.
Yeah. Incidentally, the Yuletide cookie making, so people always make cookies at Christmas time, that actually was reportedly began in Finland with 8 carefully cut cookies, including one of those shaped, representing the power Hel, H-E-L, corresponds directly to that of the present-day swastika.
No way.
So, and then here's another, this is a short one, but this was fun. Christmas in Hungary. In Hungary, Santa Claus is known as Miculus, or Winter Godfather, and celebrated via an elaborate series of rituals beginning on December 5th, when children take special baths so they will be extra clean for Miculus' arrival.
Mm-hmm.
They also put out shoes for him to fill with goodies in observance of the 3 gold bags. But there is this one thing, because only the good children get the goodies. The bad ones get a golden birch so they can be beaten with it.
Oh, man. Isn't this so interesting how seriously people around the world celebrate Christmas?
Yep.
It is very interesting.
Okay. So I want to get into this story I told you about little boy and his dead best friend.
Hmm.
Now, this story actually goes back to 1996. And as you can hear Ninja snoring over the background.
Oh, gosh.
But this story goes back to 1996. And it involves a little boy named Jake, who was about 5 years old at the time. And what basically happened is Jake's mom, Pam, was a single mom. And she was raising Jake all on her own, obviously. And she was living with her parents at the time.
Okay.
And she worked at a little gas station. And she had... a young lady that she worked with named Stacy that was in a similar situation. She lived with her parents. She had a single kid about the same age as Jake. His name was Chris. So Stacy and Pam became really good friends, as did Jake and Chris. And like I said, for about 2 years, they were inseparable. They even had, you know, chicken pox buddies. They got chicken pox together. They were in Cub Scouts together.
That's so nice.
They hung out nonstop. But about the time... Jake had his 7th birthday, which was the last time him and Chris saw each other. His mom had remarried, and had been remarried for a while, but had still been living with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to go ahead and get a place of their own, and they moved out. But this place was about an hour away in a different county.
Oh,
so Jake and Chris,
they didn't get to see each other.
They didn't get to see each other. Shortly after the birthday, though, Chris, who was still living with his mom at her parents' house,
mm-hmm.
The grandfather was actually watching him, and they were outside. Him and Chris were in the garage. He was tinkering around with his car. And he said he left for just a minute. It seemed like a minute. It was a little longer than that, obviously. But he went into the house to grab something. And when he came back out, in the corner, there were a big pile of poles or pipes, mm-hmm. metal, that had been up in the corner, and all of them were had fell down, and they were laying on top of Chris.
Oh, no.
He moved them. He called 911, but by the time 911 had gotten there, Chris had passed away.
Oh, my gosh. Bless his heart.
Well, Jake's mom, Pam, felt like that it would be good for Jake to go to the services, the visitation. And so she did. She took him to the visitation. And not too long after that, Jake started having an imaginary friend mm-hmm. named Chris.
Mm.
She obviously was semi-concerned because, you know, she didn't know was taking him to the visitation the wrong thing to do. Yeah. And was it what was calling it? And she talked to some other parents. And all of the other parents were like, no, this is just his way of processing it, and mm-hmm. everything would be fine. Well, this continued on for a little bit. And at about this time, Pam and her husband started going through an ugly divorce. Now, keep in mind, they hadn't been together that long. They'd only been moved out about 6 months to their new place. And but they started going through an ugly divorce, so her and Jake moved back in with her mom. And now it's Christmas time. It's been about 6-7 months since Chris's death. And so they decided to go to Walmart. And, you know, Jake's all excited. They're going through and they're looking at, you know, they got Christmas lights and they got the Christmas trees. And they're discussing what they're going to put up. So he's super excited. Then they get to the toy aisle. You can imagine how a 7-year-old is at Christmas time at the toy aisle.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they're walking around and Jake looks up and there's one of those, you know, those like white plastic guitars that have like the little keyboard things on them.
Uh-huh.
So you hit them and but it's not really a guitar. It's just got the buttons that you push. This was up on the top shelf. And Jake was like, oh man, I'd like to see that. Well, the mom was only like 5'2".
Yeah, and
her mom was no taller. Mm-hmm. So they were like, well, I can't reach that. So they start looking at the end of the aisle for an associate at Walmart. And he said the few seconds after that, they heard it start playing. But it was still up on the top shelf.
No way.
And they're looking. They see it playing, but they, you know, and they're still looking for an associate at this time. And it falls. And her mom are just like stunned. And Jake said,
why'd it hit him in the head?
Well, no. Jake said, I told you Chris could get it. He can do anything now.
Oh.
And they were so freaked out that they just grabbed him and they left. And, you know, they started thinking about it, and they was like, man, you know, years went by, and Jake now is an adult and has his own kids and married.
Uh-huh.
He don't remember much about that day, but his mom was telling his wife, you know, this is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And it kind of freaked her out a little bit. But then she said that she had separated from Stacy. They really hadn't talked to each other. And she ran into her.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, you know, after now Jake was already grown.
Uh-huh.
And she was telling her about that story. And Stacy told her, she said, you know, Chris never left.
What?
She said, you know, we were having similar situations. And she said, and we had another kid in 2003, which was, what, you're looking at 7 years after Chris had passed away.
Uh-huh.
She said, we had a little girl. And she said, as soon as she started able to talk, she said she had an imaginary friend, and his name was Chris.
Aw, that's so sweet.
So that's my little Christmas story.
I love that story. It really makes my heart happy.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
It's very good.
Now, we're going to breeze right along. So we're going to tell this story. This story, I'm just going to read.
Okay, baby.
So it's going to be a little different, but it's very disturbing nonetheless. So I'll try to do my best, you know, Mike Brown / Aaron Mankey, and just try to actually be professional for once instead of just jabber. All right. So 7-year-old Henry Childers crawled reluctantly under the covers of his bed. But, Mom, he whined, I'm not sleepy. Can I stay up for another few hours? "It's almost 10 already," his mother Tanya said with an indulgent smile. "If you don't get to sleep, Santa won't stop here tonight." "Do you think Santa got my letter this year?" Henry asked, sitting up against the headboard. "Well, I'm sure he did, honey. 'Cause I don't want it to be like last year." Tanya sighed heavily and rubbed her temples. She'd been hearing this same tirade from her son for an entire year now. "Henry, there was nothing wrong with the gift you got from Santa last year." "Well, I asked for an Xbox, and he gave me a PlayStation. It's not the same." "As I've told you 100 times, maybe Santa was all out of Xboxes," Tanya said, pulling the covers up just under Henry's chin. She and her husband had gone to every store in the city looking for an Xbox last year, but they'd all been sold out. It had been a PlayStation or nothing, but still, it hadn't satisfied Henry. "I mailed my letter to him in October last year," Henry said. "That gave him plenty of time to have his elves whip me up an Xbox." "Henry," Tanya said a little more sharply than she'd intended, "you're being awfully ungrateful. There are children in the world that would have nothing. If you don't start being more appreciative, Santa may just decide to just skip over our house altogether this year." "Okay," Henry said, his lower lip poked out like a shelf. "I'm sorry." "Just get to sleep," Tanya said, leaning over and kissing their son on the forehead. "When you wake up in the morning, you just might find that that bike you've been wanting is waiting under the tree for you." "Do you think Santa will like the cookies and milk we left out for him?" Henry asked. "I'm sure he will. He will think they're delicious. I'll see you in the morning, sweetie." Tanya turned off the light, the small nightlight plugged into the electrical socket by the closet throwing a muted yellow glow throughout the room. She eased the door closed, leaving Henry to dream of Christmas morning. "Do you think it's safe to start?" Jonas Childers asked his wife. They were sitting in the living room watching a sci-fi channel marathon of Silent Night, Deadly Night films. Tanya glanced at the clock, saw that it was just past 1 o'clock in the morning. "He should be sound asleep by now," she said. "I think we can get started." "Good," Jonas said. "I'll probably take me till dawn to get this damn bike put together anyway." So they went up to the attic, carefully to avoid all the squeakiest boards, and brought down all of Henry's presents. Tanya began arranging all the smaller gifts around the tree while Jonas unfolded the instructions for the bike and began to assemble it. "Shit," Jonas cursed under his breath, trying to fit together two pieces that simply refused to fit together. "As much trouble as this is, Henry better like this damn bike." Tanya knelt next to her husband, took the uncooperative pieces, and easily snapped them together. "Are you kidding? He'll absolutely love it." "He better. I don't want to have to go through another year hearing him bitch and moan like he did about that damn PlayStation." "It did get a little bit tiresome," Tanya said with a giggle, "but Henry just wants what he wants, and he won't settle for anything else. Like mother, like son." Tanya swatted her husband on the arm and said, "That's not true. I settled for you, after all." "Very funny," Jonas said. "How about you settle for passing me those cookies?" Tanya had baked a batch of oatmeal raisin cookies, half of which her family had eaten, the other half of which had been placed on a plate for Santa Claus. She took the plate, handed it to her husband, who immediately inhaled two of the cookies. "Careful," Tanya said, reading over the instructions. "You keep that up, you'll soon be as fat as Santa." "This isn't for me," Jonas said, around a mouthful of cookies, spewing crumbs like a fine mist. "It's for Henry. Think how disappointed he would be if he woke up and saw that Santa hadn't eaten the cookies that he left for him." She said, "Don't talk with your mouth full," with a smile. "Hand me one of the milk, please." They did not leave out a glass of milk for Santa, since they were afraid that it would curdle, but they placed it in a thermos to keep it cold. Tanya passed the thermos to her husband. Jonas popped the top on the thermos and gulped down several swallows of milk. Suddenly, he retched, spitting milk into the air like a geyser, the thermos dropping from his hand and leaking its contents onto the carpet. Jonas clutched at his throat, making strange gagging noises as milk and blood dribbled down his chin. Tanya screamed and grabbed her husband as he collapsed onto her lap. His body was jerking with violent spasms, his eyes rolling up to the whites. He coughed violently, and more frothy blood sprayed Tanya's arms, and she thought there were chunks of tissue mixed in with it. "Oh, God, Jonas," she screamed, crying. "What's wrong? What should I do?" "What's going on?" Henry said as he stepped into the room, wearing his pajamas, rubbing the sleep dust from his eyes. "I heard screaming." "Henry, get the phone and call 911, Tanya yelled frantically. "Something's wrong with your father. He needs an ambulance right away." "What is it?" Henry asked, wide-eyed, stepping further into the room. "Henry, call 911 now." Henry started to turn toward the phone, but then he spotted the spilled thermos of milk and froze. "Did Dad drink the milk?" he asked, snatching up the thermos and waving it at his mother. "What?" Tanya said, feeling her husband's spasms tampering off, afraid to even contemplate what that might mean. Your father needs help. Did Dad drink the milk? Henry said again, his old stubborn self. This milk was for Santa Claus, not Dad. Henry, Tanya screamed, desperate tears of frustration and helplessness streaking down her face. This isn't the time. This milk was for Santa Claus, not for Dad, Henry roared, throwing the thermos across the room. A numbness began to spread throughout Tanya's body, starting to her chest and reaching through to her limbs. Comprehension came slowly, and it made her feel cold inside, cold and empty. What did you do? She croaked, her voice raw and raspy. Henry, what did you do to the milk? I poured Drano in it, he said matter-of-factly, as if stating that he had just brushed his teeth. Tanya was on her feet in an instant, the still form of her husband stretched out on the floor. She grabbed Henry by the shoulders and shook him hard. Why would you do such a thing? She shouted into his face. Why in the name of God would you do such a thing? I wanted an Xbox, Henry shouted back, wrenching out of his mother's grasp. Not a PlayStation, an Xbox. And Santa knew that. He knew that, and he gave me the wrong thing anyway. I wanted to teach him a lesson, make him pay for giving me the wrong gift last year.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, what a prick. Tanya stumbled back, hands in her mouth, and watched as her son turned and ran into the room. Slamming the door behind him, she snatched up the phone and quickly dialed 911 while Santa chopped up a topless teenager on the television behind her. The end.
Santa chopped up a topless teenager?
Yeah, they were watching Silent Night, Deadly Night Marathon, remember?
Oh my gosh. What a brat. I cannot, you know, okay. That's a terrible story, and I actually seen a video, something sort of like this, on Facebook the other day, and it's so much like it, only the kid wanted an Xbox or something like that. Well, his brother, the parents got his brother one. Well, the brother didn't even ask for one, and they was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe y'all got me this, I didn't even ask you for this, and he got something random, I don't even know what it was. This kid got so mad, he literally threw a fit. Like, he was like a teenager, though, upper teenager. Threw a fit, grabbed the Christmas tree, drug it outside in the yard, and put gasoline all over it and caught it on fire. Okay, just because he didn't get what he wanted and his brother got what he wanted.
Well, at this point, they weren't going to need the tree much longer anyway, though.
Well, I understand that, but I'm telling you, this kid, it was so ridiculous. So his dad ended up chasing him around the yard and telling him he's crazy, and this kid's, like, screaming at his parents, like, I can't believe y'all didn't, blah, 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 blah. And his mom's like, come in here. She's out there trying to put the tree out with the fire extinguisher. It was just a whole thing. And so finally, his mom said, come in here, come in here. She had a damn Xbox for him the whole time.
Huh.
She just hadn't given it to him yet. But this was like an 18 or 19-year-old kid.
What a jerk.
I mean, are you serious? I mean, this was like a real thing.
And then she still gave it to him.
Yeah, of course she did. Because then as soon as he saw that he had one, oh, Mom, and started hugging her.
Enabler.
I mean, seriously. His brother was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Why are you doing this?
I didn't get any good gifts like that as a kid, anyway.
Well, I mean, I did not
every
either.
Every damn gift I got as a kid could be turned around and used against me. Like those little paddleball games. You know, you got the paddleball game, and then when the, you know, that it's got the little rubber ball on it,
oh,
and the rubber
yes.
band.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then once the ball broke off of it, they mm-hmm. would use it to beat your ass with.
Yep.
Or
yep.
I would get like a racetrack, either mm-hmm. a train track or a car racetrack,
mm-hmm.
and then they would beat me with those pieces of track.
Oh, my goodness.
you can't do that today. Well, you're not going to beat a kid with a damn $300 PS4.
Well,
I mean, what are you
of course not. Oh, my gosh. It was the craziest thing. I was just like, so I guess the moral of the story is people just be grateful for what you get. Love one another. The family's the most important thing. And if you're that hateful and mean to try to kill Santa Claus, you've already got the devil in you, that's for sure. That's a terrible story.
So anyway, I think it's been a fun, enlightening Christmas episode thus far.
It has, yeah. Yep, it has been.
And I can't think of any better way to end it than talking about serial killer facts.
Okay.
So let's do that.
All right, well, let's hear some facts about stupid people.
Yeah, Ember, like I said, most of you know her. She's from Color Me Dead, and she decided to step back a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's working on a new show with her husband, and she talks a little bit about that. But I thought it would be fun to have her on because she's got some downtime now. And
yeah, you know, she's a pretty cool chick, too. Loved be somebody fun to hang out with for sure.
Except she lives in Utah.
And it's I know, that's a little far away.
She actually lives really close to Skinwalker Ranch. So she's got all kinds of stories, and you probably have no clue what I'm talking about, do you? Skinwalker Ranch is actually, everybody out here will know about Skinwalker Ranch. It's actually a really famous story. A lot of bizarre stuff from like UFO to Sasquatch, everything all happening right there, and it's in Utah. So
Very cool.
So let's take a listen to Amber. All right, we are joined on the phone by our special guest for the evening. We kind of teased it a little bit last week and told you that we had another podcaster that was going to join us for a segment this week and maybe an ongoing deal where we might do this a couple more times over the next couple of months. But I wanted to welcome to the phone, I guess I should say to the show rather than the phone, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Miss Amber Hammond, who is the former host of the Color Me Dead podcast. Amber, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Well, you sound super excited.
How is everybody doing?
We are fantastic.
I'm good. I'm always excited. That's just me.
Good for you.
That's a lie. I'm just excited to talk to you guys.
Do I have to warn you ahead of time that we have a family-friendly show?
And it doesn't matter. You can do what you want.
Yeah. If you heard...
I've never listened to one episode ever in my life. Mm-hmm. Insert all sarcasm.
Well, and if you listen to a couple of shows back when the Brohio guys were on, I think it's obvious that it really doesn't matter what gets said during these interviews.
Well, you see, I listened to that one, so I will be sure to don my halo and be a good person.
So... I would going to jump into what we're going to do. We've got a very cool segment set up that you've got all laid out for us, and we talked a little bit about it earlier. But before we get into what we're going to do for our show, I thought we would just basically talk a few minutes about you and what's going on with you. Most people who listen to the show know that you've stepped away from Color Me Dead for some personal reasons, and I thought I'd give you a couple seconds just tell everybody what was going on in your life.
Oh, well, geez. Okay. Long story short is it's hard to podcast and work around three separate schedules. Angel, Nikki, and I, we are all also mothers. And so we always try to do it at a time that worked best. But unfortunately, my kids always, not that they got pushed aside, but podcasting is a full-time thing. And they were tired of me always researching or being on my phone or having to do certain things and being told, hold on just a minute, you know, I got something to do. And finally, my oldest, who is six, looked at me and he said a few things and he basically told me that I was done. And I agreed with him. So I was, I mean, when a six-year-old tells you some stuff and hits you right in the heart hole, he told me that he wanted to ask Santa if he could be a podcast so I would want to spend more time with him.
Aww.
So, yeah, kids have a way of, like, ripping your heart out and stepping on it.
Oh my gosh.
So that's when I was like, okay, I'm done. So I was trying to figure out a way, how can I still podcast and do this full time? Because I love podcasting. I didn't know that I would love it as much until I got into it, and I love the whole process of it. And I research anyways, it's a form of therapy for me. So it was a way to also utilize what I do. And I was trying to think, and the only way that I could do it is if I sat down and if I gave myself a few months, do a whole bunch of research, do a whole bunch of recording, have a whole bunch of editing done. That way there's a nice nest egg, if that makes sense. So in case if something happens, you don't have to worry about meeting up with schedules. You have a fallback. And also, if I could record at night after all my kids went to bed. Well, unfortunately, at night, that's when Angel's family is all home and she can spend time with them. And Nikki is now a single mom with three kids. She can't load up her three kids and come over at 9 o'clock at night. I can't load up my three kids and come over to her house at 9 o'clock at night. So there was never going to be a permanent solution to be able to just manage it all for long term. And so I couldn't look my little six-year-old in the face anymore and tell him, you know, things will be fine. So that's why I decided to step away, and I gave the girls all the stuff, and I hope them the best, and I'm sure that they will make awesome things out of it. We're all still cool. Like, there's nothing wrong that way. Just family always comes first.
Of course. Just kind of bad timing, I guess, but the timing will come and it'll be great.
Yeah, yeah. And the one cool thing is my husband, Quinn, he's been on our show more than once. He was our disclaimer voice. He's the Color Me Dead voice, the voice of David Parker Ray in episodes, I think, 20 through 23. And his voice has been very sought after. People love his voice.
Nice.
And we've always kind of played around with doing our own podcast, and Color Me Dead just took up so much time that that wasn't a thing. So now that I don't have to worry about that, we're going to move forward and we're going to have our own podcast, and it's going to branch away from Color Me Dead. I'm changing completely how I want us to talk about things, and we'll talk about all those subjects that you can't bring up around random strangers. Well, you can, but you're going to get weird looks. So
that's the best kind, though.
Right. Usually that's my go-to, because I'm not a very around crowds. I'm a very shy person. And so usually if people talk to me a whole bunch, I spout off random facts about a serial killer, because either they're going to love me or they're going to leave me alone, and I'm okay with either. So,
well, that's going to be a good segue into what we're going to be doing here tonight, because we mm-hmm. have a little segment called Ember's Killer Facts. And what yeah. we're going to do is you have prepared a list of 1 to 10 of
yep.
random facts about serial killers. And me and Tracy are going to take turns picking numbers. And if we don't get through all of them this time, we'll do this again, which is the intention. Yeah. And we're just going to have some fun with it. So are you ready for this, Trace?
Perfect. I'm ready.
I will let Tracy. And first of all, before we get into this, I had no idea that was Quinn at the beginning of your show doing the disclaimer.
Yeah. Yep. That's my husband.
He does have an awesome voice. I had no clue. I just thought that was something y'all had professionally done.
No, dang.
Nope. I sat my husband down and I said, "Make, you have a good voice that can be stern and understood, and it's deep and it's awesome, and so do it." And he's actually been on a different podcast from one of our friends. I say Corpus Del Taco now because there was this whole thing, but it's Corpus Delicti, or however people want to say it. And so he's been on their show before. So it's kind of cool.
That is cool. So he's going to be hooked and ready to go when you're all ready to do it.
Exactly. So, serial killer facts.
All right.
Pick a number, any number.
Tracy, pick a number.
Number six.
Oh, look. You picked John Wayne Gacy.
No.
Nice.
Fun. So, if people don't know who John Wayne Gacy is. Oh, my gosh. My dog was so loud. I am so sorry.
Yeah, we don't allow dogs on the show, ma'am.
Yeah, right.
I'm so sorry. I understand.
You're so fun.
But John Wayne Gacy was also known as Pogo the Clown. He, unfortunately, was a total piece of work, and he murdered 33 boys that we know of, and he hid most of them under his crawl space in his house.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
So my fun little fact about him is, and it's probably, I don't know, I never know what is like super well known and what is not, but he was actually photographed with the first lady at the time, so Rosalynn Carter, as he was receiving his Secret Service clearance. He's probably the only serial killer that we know of that was actually granted Secret Service clearance.
Oh my gosh.
Obviously, they did a great job of checking that out.
Mm-hmm. And it was something. Just because he was such a prominent member, and he was very much a Democratic Party activist, and he was always doing things within his community, and that's how he got his clearance. So I've always found that weird, because that's what everybody says. Obviously, back in the day, they didn't do their research very well.
You know, it's funny. I have a little John Wayne Gacy story that I was researching for this particular show, trying to find some scary Christmas stories. And one of the stories I ran across was actually a little girl said that when she was, well, she wasn't a little girl at the time, or when she told the story, but when she was a little girl, she can remember her dad having a conversation. It was Christmas time and all the relatives were over, and she walked into the room and they just quit talking. And she said he seemed like he was visibly disturbed. And years later, she found out that what he talked about every year, this got brought up, is that when he was younger, him and a friend decided to go to a gay bar. And when they were at this gay bar, this guy approached them, was talking about he had some work that he needed done for his house, and he invited him and his buddy over. And he decided, you know, I just got a funny feeling about this guy. I'm not going to do it. But his buddy did go over there to work on his house, and he was one of the guys that they found in his crawl space.
Oh, wow.
So
that's crazy.
You just do not know people. I mean, somebody that can just be in the public eye like that, and, I mean, you just don't know what goes on behind closed doors, and that is really scary.
Yep.
That's why you just side-eye everybody.
Yeah.
They just play it safe.
Yeah.
And don't trust anybody.
Okay, I got one.
Hold on. I'm not done.
Oh, well, you told
just
me.
Kidding. I'm so sorry. I was also just going to say, I don't know how many people knew that he was also a mortician's assistant, which is how he knew how to handle bodies and how he was able to hide them under his crawl space for so long without his wife or his children finding him.
Oh, yeah. I had no clue about that.
Yeah, me either.
Wow.
Do you have some more, or can I go on with our show?
You can lead your show now. I deeply apologize.
No, that was really interesting, because I guess if he worked with the mortician, he had to have the smell somehow. So
yeah, he probably used the lime or the lye and all the other stuff that they tend to use.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Are you done now?
Okay.
Because I have a question.
Am I done? Yeah.
Question.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, okay. It's not really a question. I just have a number. Number two.
Number two. Oh, you picked my favorite one. Okay. So we're going to talk about Richard Chase now.
Dick Chase.
Who is also Dick Chase. Dick Trenton Chase. He was another serial killer. And unfortunately, the reason why I love this case so much is because it's also extremely tragic. He was, he had schizophrenia, very, very severe. And even as a teenager, he knew something was wrong. And he went to different doctors numerous times saying, there's something wrong with me. Please help me. Please help me. And they would help him for a time, but this was also in the 70s. And so they didn't really have a full grasp on schizophrenia like they do now. And so they would hospitalize him, medicate him for a little while, and then let him be released. Unfortunately, his mom's way and his parents' way of handling that was, let's just take him and put him in his own apartment, completely isolated, which is the worst thing that you can do.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible.
And yeah, he was also known as the Vampire Sacramento. He drank victims' blood. He was actually shooting himself up with rabbit's blood throughout different times when he was trying to get help, because he felt that his heart was going to turn into powder and he was losing blood and all this different things that way. But as far as his fun fact is, he used to actually blend up body parts and mix it with Coca-Cola to make a kind of weird milkshake out of it. Yeah, definitely not two things I would ever put together, but you know, who am I to judge?
I'm going to Earl. That's
well, if that's what I do the best.
Well, if one of his victims' name was Hope, he could be making Hope floats.
Okay, that was a stretch.
Oh, you. He also thought that the way that he could absorb vitamin C better was to put orange peels on his head. So he would randomly peel an orange and then just put them on his head and walk around for a while.
Well, I'll be dang. That's crazy.
That's one fact that I didn't know about him. Matter of fact, I think I actually posted that this week on the Facebook page as one of the little twisted thoughts.
Oh my gosh.
Well, see, look at you go. You don't even need me.
It was luck. I fell into it.
We do need you, because I'm telling you, I have not heard of any of this stuff. This is so interesting.
But then again, she's not heard of any of the stuff we do on our show. So, all right, your turn.
Well, maybe she just pretends that way to make you feel better.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
Hey, Amber found out.
Your turn to pick a number, princess.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, is there more?
Oh, yeah. Well, is there more?
Nope.
Oh, dang.
No, I mean, there could be more, but I would just give you a full episode on it. And so, no, you can pick another number.
Pick a number, babe.
Four.
Okay, so number four is Danny Rowling, who is also known as the Gainesville Ripper, and he was obviously another serial killer who murdered 5 students in Gainesville, Florida. And then later he confessed to raping several of his victims. And he also did a triple homicide in Louisiana. And he attempted to murder his dad. And he ultimately confessed to killing 8 people. Now, his little fun fact, which isn't really a fun fact, I mean, if you look into the murder at all, you're going to know. But what he did with his victims is after he had murdered them, he would usually pose them in provocative poses and, like, set up mirrors and stuff. So when whoever found them, they would find this dead body doing inappropriate things to itself. And one time he actually decapitated one of the women and set her head up above to where it was looking down on her body doing inappropriate things.
He's gosh.
A real piece of work.
What a sicko.
Yeah. Yeah. He also has, sadly, he has a very beautiful singing voice. I've actually heard one of his tapes before of him singing. And if you never knew him and you just heard his stuff, like, you'd be like, oh, he sounds really good. I really like him. And then you find out who it is, and it's just bone chilling because you're like, oh my gosh, this person is terrible.
Oh, man. Oh, what is wrong with people?
It goes back into that whole thing of you can't trust anybody.
Oh, my gosh.
Just when you think you're safe, you're not.
Damn. I wonder how many people's chairs would turn around on The Voice if he was on there.
Probably all 4. He has a great voice.
Oh, my goodness.
That'd be the interview I'd like to see afterwards. They're just talking about where he grew up. He had a rough childhood, tried to kill his dad.
No big deal.
Yeah.
He was put to death in 2006 by a lethal injection, thankfully. So
good.
That makes
good
me
for
happy.
Him.
Yep, he has a big waste of space. We don't need him around.
No, we do not.
All right, we'll do one more, and we'll finish up on this one.
Perfect.
11. You
laughed. 11? That was not 1 through 10, but you're lucky that I have an 11.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's do number 8.
Oh, you cut out. Number what?
8.
Number 8. Oh, okay, so this is actually a case that I will be featuring, and it's about the Snowtown murders, and the Snowtown murders were in South Australia. And what's funny is back when I was with Color Me Dead, I had said that I've always wanted to cover this story, but what you can find on the internet versus what you can find through other sources are two completely different things. And there was this book that I really, really wanted, but it was like $50 or something. And so I was like, ugh, it will be a minute. And one of my good friends, her name's Sonia, she actually had the book and she sent it to me. So I've been reading through that and it's fascinating. But my fun fact about the Snowtown murder in South Australia is there were 4 people that committed the crimes and there were at least 6 bodies found, but none of them, they were all found in the town of Snowtown, but none of the people involved were ever from Snowtown. It was like a body dump site, which is usually pretty rare because usually where somebody is found, they're usually from there or somebody's from there. And in this case, nobody was from there. So unfortunately, Snowtown just kind of got crapped on. And there was this old lady that had a shop there and she had a dark, twisted sense of humor. And I wish that she was still doing stuff. She actually made almost like ceramic, ceramic things, sculptures, whatever. And it was a barrel because they found all these people in vats of acid and stuff in an old bank. And she had this little barrel that had a head and like a foot sticking out that would say Snowtown on it. And she would also have magnets that would have barrels on it. And it would say, "Welcome to Snowtown. We're barrels of fun."
Oh,
right? Like, you don't want to laugh because it's horrible.
It is horrible.
That is hilarious.
Well, I love all the true crime stuff as far as, you know, I don't necessarily love like every story, but I love certain stories. Like we just did, you know, Room 1046. I think that's fascinating. The H.H. Mm-hmm. Holmes stuff, Jack the Ripper. I think all those are interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But like there's a couple that I want to cover. whether it be a Patreon episode or the regular episode, but the town of Dreaded Sundown, the mm-hmm. movie was based on the Texarkana murders there. I think that would be an awesome story to do, so I plan on doing that one. I love a lot of the cult stuff, like the Jonestown Massacre. As a matter of fact, we've got a listener of ours up in Germany. She's one of our military listeners. She sent me something that a friend had put together, but it was, I guess they had to go in there and clean up the bodies after the fact. And it was like firsthand account of what went on then, which I've never heard anything about. So I've got that little mm-hmm. tidbit of information that I'm just going to hold on to from that Victoria sent us. And when I do that story, hopefully it'll add something to it that nobody else has been able to put to it.
Oh yeah, I hope so. I love different cults, especially that story. That one's always fascinated me ever since I was little, and I like different things. There's a lot of most of your more popular serial killers that we all know about, most of them I find annoying, and I don't know why.
Ted Bundy, like, for example, all anybody talks about him was how good looking he was. It's like you can't mention him.
Did you see his face?
Well, compared to other ones, compared to like Richard Ramirez and some of these other ones, so John Wayne Gacy, I guess he was pretty attractive.
Yeah, but he still, I don't know, he kind of looks like a cross-eyed Siamese cat to me, so I'm into that.
But
yeah, like a lot of your heavy hitters, I don't really, it's not, I don't know, I just feel like they were overinflated when there are so many other ones that once you start digging into that are way more, I don't know, tragic, interesting. Well, the psychology of it is way better. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but.
Well, Ed Gein is one of the big ones that actually lived up to the hype, though. I mean, he had so many factors that went in. And I thought Dahmer was kind of like that, too. They're the bigger names, but they have so many different facets.
Right, right. And, well, Ed Gein, he was just pretty much just ghoulish and disgusting. And that was one of the last cases that I really did with Color Me Dead. And reading through different things, I've gone through and I've thought a bunch of different things about him. But still, at the end of the day, we have Ed Gein to thank for most of our horror films. That story kind of was the birth of a lot of different things. I mean, we had Psycho and then Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and he was gleaned from Silence of the Lambs, and with all those sparked different creative juices. And so would our horror history be what it is today without him? I don't think so. So I think that's why he's most well known. And it was also very shocking for its time. It's one thing to kill somebody, but it's another thing to decorate your house with them after they're dead.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, he's no Martha Stewart, but, you know.
He was a Martha Stewart. I mean, he did not put anything to waste. Did you see that skin lamp? That's some fine quality.
Oh, my gosh.
Amber, it's been fantastic having you on the show. It's been a long time coming. I tried to get you on back months ago, and schedules just didn't allow. But it was fun having you on, and I greatly appreciate it. And I know Tracy does, and I think all the listeners are going to love it, because what we're finding out with the last show we did that was more of a true crime-based show than paranormal, it's gotten the most listens we've ever gotten on a show, so I think people will love hearing this little bit on here.
Well, that's awesome. And thanks for having me on. I love your guys' show. I've listened to you since pretty much I started into podcasting. I think I randomly found you guys on Twitter or something one time. And I was like, let's listen. And I listened and I enjoy you guys. So I've been trying to play it cool and not act like I'm fangirling. So I hope it's working.
You're a sweetheart. We're honored to have you on our show.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. And I hope that you guys have a wonderful evening.
All right. If we don't talk to you, have a Merry Christmas, okay?
Oh, yes. You do the very same. I forget that Christmas is so soon. So, yeah. Have a Merry Christmas, guys.
Yeah, we sure will.
Yeah, this episode actually comes out on Christmas Eve.
Oh, cool.
Oh, well, Merry Christmas Eve, everybody. Have a lovely day.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
So that's Amber and her little killer facts. I thought that was a pretty cool little segment.
Yeah, yeah. Learned a lot, actually.
She, like I said, is going to have her new show, and when she gets it up and running, we'll help her. But I think she said that, you know, we're looking at probably March.
Yeah, after the holidays and get all that and stuff, yeah.
You know, that'll be kind of fun.
Excited for her.
Also, what's going to be fun, you probably heard at the beginning of the show, we ran a promo for Mirths and Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually CK or Kevin, classic Kevin. Depends on what you want to call him, but... I prefer Kevin, but he goes by CK and he got his name, Classic Kevin from the girls from, and that's why we drink.
Oh, is that fact?
Yeah, they did the episode about the death chair that was like a haunted chair.
Yeah.
Supposedly if you touch it, and he actually went up to it, and he went to the chair and actually took pictures of him touching it and stuff like that, and they were going on like, it's Classic Kevin, Classic Kevin. So he started using the term Classic Kevin. So
brave.
But they've actually helped him a whole lot in getting started and all that.
Well,
and
that's great.
We talk a lot on Facebook, so we're going to actually set him up the first week of January. We're going to do an interview and come on. So
good.
If you haven't heard his show yet, first of all, he's got a cool-ass Scottish accent.
Oh,
so that's
nice.
The first thing
I
like. He'll be the first Scottish accent we've had on the
very
show.
Very good.
But... his show is very clean. It's very mm-hmm. family-oriented.
Good.
It's funny. It's short. They're only like 20, 30 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you like myths and legends, which I absolutely love, he's kind of, it's similar to that in the fact that it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, you know, some folklore and mm-hmm. myths and legends and stuff like that. But
well, that'll be refreshing.
Yeah, it's a really cool show. And like I said, it's very kid-friendly. So if you've got children out there that like listening to podcasts, the perfect show for him to listen to. So, and plus he got nominated and actually was like in the top five in those podcast awards that just came out.
Well, good
yeah,
for him.
And for him being a pretty new show, I think he's only got 15, 16 episodes
amazing.
Out.
Amazing.
So.
Well, that's great.
But he's an overall great guy.
Yeah.
And I think you guys check it out. So Mirths and Monsters, wherever you listen to podcasts, give him a listen. Guys, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for an awesome year. I hope everybody has a safe time. Just because we didn't do it at the beginning, I saved it to the end for a special. But I want to give a special Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all of our military and civil servants all over the world. It's tough being away from your family. And I just wanted to say that we appreciate everything you guys do, because without you guys making these sacrifices, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we do. And so many other people around the world wouldn't be able to do what they do. You guys give us the gift of freedom here at Christmas, and there is no bigger gift than that.
Amen. Well said, babe.
We will see you next week.
Merry Christmas, guys. We love you all, and enjoy your family.